Joining us right now to discuss the U.S. and its relations with Europe in the Trump administration is Llewellyn King, executive director or executive producer and host of White House Chronicle on PBS. You can find him on Twitter at Llewellyn King, too. Llewellyn is L-L-E-W-E-L-L-Y-N. And Llewellyn, good morning.
Good morning to you, Kent, and thank you for spelling out my name. It's not easy for people.
Well, we want to make sure people get it right. So you have written a piece recently titled "Europeans Feel They Can't Trust the U.S. in the time of Trump." What's the basis for your argument here?
Well, it's talking to an awful lot of people in Europe, as I always do. I have a telephone line that has no charges, and I pay one fee to. So I speak to all my old colleagues and friends across Europe and people I've met and keep meeting, and there is a great sense of disillusion of what has happened to America. But I'd like to preface this by saying, as an American myself, as a journalist, as a citizen, I do not like to criticize the president when he's abroad. I was lucky enough, I suppose, to travel with George W. Bush, and I remember how we in the media were standing around very upset when it looked as though Bush was not doing well in Germany. And then he went to the Bundestag, and he gave a speech that he read beautifully, and Bush was very good. He had wonderful speech writers, and he delivered great speeches, and he did that well. And how we all felt so much better. Our president was doing what we wanted him to do, look like the face of America abroad, something we could warm our hands at and feel proud of. This is us, expressed through the presidency. And the same effect, the same feeling with both in Africa and in China when I traveled with Clinton. Both Clinton and Bush could rise to the occasion. Now, Bush had his difficulties. He had his Bush difficulties in Germany and difficulties in Paris. But he could read speeches beautifully, and they were well-written speeches with a lot of wisdom and a lot of history in them. And that saved him to a large extent. It gave him a sense of depth and purpose that I fear we have not seen from President Trump. And what you've just read from the Wall Street Journal is, to me, a little astounding. I thought it was a speech delivered, the wrong speech, or the right speech in the wrong place. Poland is moving rapidly right wing. It is it's right behind some of the extreme forces in Europe today. Hungary, for example, which is far to the right. Poland is right behind Hungary. They are attacking a free press. They are limiting political speech. These are not our values. So it would have been better if the president had either delivered that speech somewhere that still espouses our values, that still cherishes them and shows that it cherishes them, rather than a place which seems to be backing off our values. I think he went to Poland because he knew he'd get a good reception there. And some of the optics were, you know, very contrived, very much like the kind of thing that one saw in dictatorships. People would bust in from the countryside to cheer and make things look all much better, probably, than they were. I suspect the intelligentsia in Warsaw felt very bad about this endorsement of what they increasingly see as a fascist government or government moving towards fascist. There's also considerable fundamentalist pro-Christian rhetoric in Hungary and Poland, particularly those two countries in Europe. Europe is going through great difficulties, exaggerated probably by the pressure of illegal immigration across the Mediterranean, but it is not time for an American president to support the unacceptable face of European political life.
It seems that some Russian leaders decided rather quickly that uh, that they could no longer rely on the United States for leadership. Is this a sincere belief on their part, or is this perhaps a play by some of Europe's leaders to gain some prominence for themselves?
Oh, no, I think there's a great doubt. You see, there's been this extraordinary international cooperation since 1945 to the present day between Europe and America. Even at times of tension, it has been a stunning international partnership. And Bush's speechwriter was correct when he said the common values. They have sustained the special relationship, and it's a special relationship not just between the United Kingdom and the United States, but all of Europe. We share so much. Not only do we share values and ideas, we share language, we share history, we share much of the American ethnicity that's European. But it is under stress, and there is something in the Trump administration and the people around Trump who are very isolationist, really seem to believe in fortress America and believe that the rot begins in Europe, which is astounding to me, but it's there. I speak to these people, and some of them are my friends. I mean, I'm not somebody who by nature for some reason picks these friends from people he agrees with. I tend, if anything, to have more friends I disagree with. It's a very delicate and difficult and discouraging moment in our history when Europe and America are drifting apart. Europe is going through its own extraordinary difficulties. Nationalism is on the rise everywhere, and it's not a pretty thing. It's rather sad that it's the centenary of the end of the close to the end with the American entry into the First World War, which was the beginning of the end of the First World War. And it's a sad thing that that was largely the product of rampant nationalism in Europe, conflicting nationalism. You know, when we're pulling back from world free trade, we're pulling back from treaty obligations, we're pulling back sometimes from things that are quite innocent but are very important in their optics. For example, the Paris Agreement on climate change. It didn't force anything on us, but it showed that we were there. And our presence is a large moral force. Our absence leaves a large hole. Unfortunately, sometimes that hole gets filled by other people. I would cite to you, for example, our withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact. Our withdrawal from there leaves a huge opportunity for China, something that I think is very distressing and is really a turn back from the American century to something new. This may not be the American century. The 20th century was the end, but certainly this part of it is still, America is still the great nation, and it remains the great hope, and our systems are the light. And our endorsement of the right things means a lot to people in the world. But there was nothing that I read in Mr. Trump's speech that suggested human rights, a great value, free trade, a great value, free movement of people, a great value. These things were missing. This was, in my view, a pinched view of our common values.
So how can this be rectified, if at all?
Well, I think, you know, it's not for me to say. I can have my own ideas. It's for the political world to face. I think the first thing is the Senate should realize that the United States is in trouble as an international power, that we're losing prestige, we're losing clout, and that vacuums get filled. They don't remain vacuums. Withdrawing from our traditional international role, it's going to cost us. And I think the Senate should have a word with the President collectively. I think the Republicans in the Senate hold the key to explaining to this administration, to the President, and to those around him that they are worried about our loss of historical ground, of moral high ground in the world. It's no good being on the moral high ground all by yourself. That's not a policy. That's a lack of a policy. We need policies. We need suggestions of what America thinks about a lot of things, about where we stand. I really think that one of the great ways for America to maintain moral leadership is to assert and to repeatedly assert and make part of our national endeavor human rights. It is the one thing that everybody everywhere in the world can understand, the concept that because I'm a human being, because I have been born, I am entitled to something, a certain invisible shield around me that says I cannot or should not be violated. And even if I am being violated, I know there is a city on the hill, a shining city. It is America, where they care about human rights. We are abandoning that high ground, and I think it's quite remarkably tragic.
Llewellyn King, thank you so much for talking with us, as always.
It's my pleasure. Have a great day, Kent.
You too, Llewellyn. Llewellyn is executive producer and host of White House Chronicle on PBS, and you can find him on Twitter at LlewellynKing2.